You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. We cover down on all the issues. And like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. All right, well, hour number three. Unbelievable, Boomer, hour number three. It's fast. But this has been some hot topics today. So we've been covering down on some ground today. And let me tell you, we're about to go live on the phones with our own Congressman Mo Brooks. Congressman Brooks has been serving Alabama's 5th Congressional District now since 2011. He got his undergraduate degree from Duke University, his law degree from the University of Alabama, a founding member of the Freedom Caucus, which you've heard me talk about them quite a bit on this show. And has been serving very capably. Let me just bring him on right now. Congressman Brooks, how you doing today, sir?
I'm doing great. I've got my faucets covered for the 5-degree weather overnight. Thermal underwear is ready to grab and go if needed. Oh, it's going to be something over the next 12 to 14 hours.
It's going to be like epic cold, like Arctic stuff we're talking about here, right here in Alabama even. It's just going to be unbelievably cold.
It is. Say in Denver, I don't know if you saw, but they dropped 37 degrees in 42 minutes.
What?
Casper, Wyoming, they dropped 70 degrees overnight.
Holy smokes. That is, in fact, that almost sounds like some kind of like end of times movie or something is what it sounds like. Well, hey, Congressman, let me ask you a few questions here. Now, I want to get to the January 6th commission in a minute, but we've had some breaking news, and we spent a bit of time on the show today talking about the omnibus spending package that made it through the Senate today and now is coming back to the House maybe as early as tonight. Give me your thoughts, and are all the Republicans going to stand together in the House at the very least? What are your thoughts on this?
This omnibus bill is so bad in so many different ways, I'm not sure where to start. You've got the debt junkie wing of the Republican Party that got this through the United States Senate. Similarly, there'll be some number of Republicans in the House who will be in the minority amongst the GOP conference that will help the Democrats pass it in the House. But just to give you some overview, it is financially irresponsible. It's going to increase our deficit, according to Heritage Foundation, by about $2.7 trillion over the next decade. Ugh. And as you know, our accumulated debt is one of the drivers of inflation. It makes a whole lot more sense to postpone it, this issue, have a temporary funding bill, and postpone the big fight for about 3 weeks when the Republicans are in control of the House. But unfortunately, that cadre of debt junkie senators, led by our own Senator Richard Shelby, they're pushing it through. And in all likelihood, it's going to pass sometime later today in the House of Representatives. If not today, then tomorrow. It's just got a lot of bad things in it. But it is what it is.
Well, it does have a lot of bad things in it. It's amazing to me the amount of pork that was shoved in there. Let me ask you a question that we've been talking about on the show quite a bit. And I know that you, during the most recent campaign season, you had openly said that if you could get to the Senate, you were going to try and unseat McConnell, not support him for continued leadership. Why was Mitch McConnell so intent upon moving forward with Schumer to pass this when he could have done a CR and allowed the new Republican Congress to have more of a say in the budget processes after the first of the year?
Mitch McConnell and Richard Shelby raised a lot of money, tens of millions, if not hundreds of millions of dollars, from special interest groups. And it is this type of legislation that is used to pay back those special interest groups for the money that they funneled into campaign coffers to help various groups win election. So it's a political payback. And this is not unique, okay, Phil? I don't know how often or how long you've been paying attention to what goes in Washington, but in every one of my 12 years, the appropriators, Richard Shelby being an appropriator, have failed to pass the spending bills by September 30th, which is the deadline for getting it done, so you have a full year spending bill. And they have always push these spending issues until right before Christmas or right before New Year's, when congressmen and senators, in order to get out of Dodge, are willing to vote for a lot of bad things that they can spend the holidays home with their family. And so it's a political strategy. You've got special interests that want to do really bad things to the United States of America because it benefits them personally. They cannot get those things done in standalone bills, so they have to have this kind of setting where they can throw their wish list into these spending bills and other types of must-pass spending bills. And that's why you find us in this jam so often every holiday season.
Yeah. I just covered down a minute ago on that very issue. The editors of National Review came out hard against that topic and said it's time to end the omnibus spending packages at the end of the year. And I completely agree. And I've been watching this for a while. I remember in 2010 making comments during one of my own campaign commercials that at the very least we have a balanced budget amendment in Alabama, and they can't even figure out how to pass a budget in D.C. Well,
there are special interests that don't want that done, and those special interests have puppets, congressmen and senators, and those special interests pull those strings, and so we are where we are. And probably the worst thing about Washington is the purchasing of committee assignments or chairmanships. If you want to be a chairman of a major committee in the House of Representatives, and a major committee is defined as one that the special interests care a lot about because they can do a lot of damage through them, then the minimum bid price is $1 million. And you literally $1 million. Okay. That's not just rounding off kind of thing. That is in fact what it is. And if you can't get that $1 million from your constituents, Joe and Jane Citizen, and you can't, but if you can't get it, then that forces you to go to special interests who demand a quid pro quo. And so you're seeing the payback to those special interests right now with this omnibus and other types of must pass legislation where very bad things sought by special interests are added on. There is no constraint in Washington about what can be put into a bill. Unlike you were in the legislature, one subject matter only, right?
Right.
That's in our Constitution.
Right.
And in Washington, you can put everything in the kitchen sink into a piece of legislation. And it's a horrible way to govern. And now we're looking at 4,000 pages of spending that no one's been able to read.
Well, Congressman, and by the way, I want to have a chance before we got about 5 minutes left. So before we run out of time, let me ask you this one question more on the spendorama before we go into the January 6th Commission. In the current public discourse on this spendorama, as I've been calling it, we had members of the Freedom Caucus and some other members of the body, led by Representative Chip Roy, claiming that they're going to do all they can to try and stymie any bills that come from a Republican senator who voted for this legislation. Is that even an effective strategy? Can that work? Can they actually stymie that? Can they jimmy up the works that way?
Perhaps. In the past, the Republicans, the conservatives, the people who are financially responsible have never been willing to stick together to the degree that is necessary to force the Senate to be patriotic and do what's in the best interest of the United States of America. They may as well try it. Nothing else has worked. I hope they're successful, but whether they are successful, that will depend on whether our more liberal debt junkie wing in the House of Representatives, all claiming to be Republicans, will go along. Typically in the past, what has happened is our debt junkie Republicans in the House have aligned themselves with the big spending Democrats, and that's a majority.
Wow. All right. Well, listen, in the essence of time, let me go ahead and switch subjects on you. So I've been calling the January 6th Commission a giant nothing burger, a colossal waste of time. You, of course, had your name bandied about with them. You had your own dealings with them. You were not referred by them to the DOJ, which I'm glad to see. But nonetheless, is anything going to come of these referrals to the DOJ? And what are your thoughts in the last 3 minutes we got here together, what are your thoughts on the final outcomes of the January 6th Commission, whose report is due to come out still?
The January 6th Committee, which the media calls Select, was a witch hunt committee from the get-go. Its sole function was to present a message that would help Democrats win elections in November. That's it. Okay, and as long as you understand that, then you know where they're coming from and where they're going. They did not seek to discern the truth. If they had sought to discern the truth, then they would have used a process more akin to what you see in a court of law.
Right, cross-examination and all
both sides.
Yeah.
But I'll give you an example. I offered to testify twice in writing, sent out news releases saying, yeah, I'm willing to do it, but it's got to be done in public. This is the public's business. But they rejected that both times because that would interfere with the one-sided messaging they wanted, with the partisanship that they were promoting. If the public were to hear both sides of the story, then the public would have a much different impression of what we were doing as we fought for election integrity.
Well, I know, by the way, that that you're not a huge fan of Donald Trump right now. You've made that very clear of late, and I understand all that. Do you see this as being anything, though, that can stick to him? Is it going to just basically inflame his base and give him more street cred with Republicans? What are your thoughts on that?
Very good question. Time will answer that question. I will say from personal experience that Donald Trump tends to think that he is above the law, and that puts him at risk of being caught, because a person who thinks that they are above the law is the same kind of person who is apt to cross that line between legal and illegal. Now, I'm not saying that these four recommended criminal charges against Donald Trump will stick. I don't know the answer to that. I hope that the judicial system will examine it and will do what should be done to enforce the law and make sure that everybody is treated equally, regardless of their political status or their wealth. Time will again be the answer to that question, too. I suspect that there probably will be indictments. I don't know what a judge and jury will do. All we can pray for is that a just verdict is rendered if those indictments are forthcoming. But all the intel I get from the inside is that there's a high probability that Donald Trump will be indicted not just based on the January 6th Witch Hunt Committee's recommendations, but also in other matters in other states. Now, whether that intel is accurate, no way to know at this point. There's so much rumor mill and gossip in politics, particularly in Washington, D.C. You have to take it all with a grain of salt.
Yeah, I'm sure that's true. Well, Congressman, thanks so much for making time for us. And listen, we want you to remain, you know, a voice on Right Side Radio in perpetuity. So just know that you're always welcome on the show. We appreciate you. We appreciate your service to this state and this nation. And we wish you a Merry Christmas, sir.
Well, thank you so much, and anytime you want to discuss, you've got my number.
All right. Congressman Mo Brooks, appreciate you. Have a great day.
Take care.
All right. All right, Boomer, take us to a break, man. We'll come back and digest some of that a little bit, and then heading into the final half hour of the show. Wow, that got here fast. Hot topics, lots of activity. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.